Carol Hills, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know it's usually Marco Werman who sits in the host chair. Right now, though, Marco's on assignment in Kenya, together with our Across Women's Lives team. And all this week, they're bringing us stories about business, women, and economic empowerment. Let's go to Kenya now. And Marco, how's Nairobi?
Nairobi is great. It looks like there are rain clouds up in the sky, but the light is just extraordinary right now. I'm talking to you from the giant slum of Kibera, which is the largest slum in sub-Saharan Africa. The team and I, we've been to a lot of places over the past several days to find out really what women are doing to empower themselves through business. Biashara, the Swahili word for business, as I've now learned. I've discovered there's a pretty high rate of women in business here in Kenya, all sorts of free enterprise, whether a woman is on the side of the road with a little stall selling onions or bananas, or women rising to the top of companies or creating business opportunities, like the young woman I met from the slums who teaches yoga 7 days a week. But we're going to start today here in Nairobi in the slum of Kibera. Night is falling, open fire starting up for dinner. A lot of people striving to make it, and the odds are not good that they will make it. Daily life is kind of hand-to-mouth. But as I saw, there are some young women who are trying to break that pattern. They're actually saving money and saving themselves. And maybe, just maybe, they could help save Kibera. This is a story of one girl. It's also the story of other girls she met who, like her, wanted more than Kibera would give them.
My parents used to go to the bars, night discos, and all that, leaving me alone in the house.
That is Halima Sadiq Muhammad. She's 16. When she was a toddler, her dad was often out somewhere, rarely held down a job, a lot of drugs. Her mother ran a speakeasy inside their shack.
She was selling alcohol. The men usually came to the house. They usually drank the alcohol. They smoked bong, cigarettes, and all that.
By the time Halima was 10, both her parents had died from drinking and drugs. Before they died, though, Halima had someone looking out for her, her grandfather on her dad's side, Muhammad Ramadan Fadal.
I could hear her crying. When I go there, nobody's in the house. It went for so long, then I decided this child cannot be brought by them. I better sacrifice myself to take care of her. Something just hit my heart. She is my granddaughter.
And now Grandfather Muhammad is Halima's proud parent. He even hangs on to Halima's childhood clothes.
When she was this size.
That fits like a five.
Yeah. Or a four-year-old.
4 years old, yeah.
Halima's a little embarrassed by the hole-ridden pants she wore when she was a little girl. But she rolls with it because her grandfather is proud of her. And this is why. She's excelled in the school he enrolled her in. It's for children in need, and she always came out first, second, or third in the class. She got her primary school certificate, and now she and some of the girls she's met in school are changing the neighborhood. To show me what she meant, Halima took me to a place called the Mashujaa. That means heroes in Swahili, and when you see what they're doing, it is nothing short of heroic. The concept is simple. It's young people saving money together. No one person controls the lockbox. They have a bank account, and there must be consensus on withdrawals. Halima's taking me to the weekly Sunday afternoon meeting of the Mashujaa. We walk down the muddy alleys between corrugated metal hovels and get to an open area where other group members have already arrived. So the meetings happen here. How many people usually show up for the Mashujaa meetings?
Actually, we have a lot of members, but some of them, they mainly go to job, but they send their money.
The girls and boys here raise money on their own. The girls sell beaded jewelry for a few shillings. Some of the boys sell candy. They've got a garden out back and rabbit hutches, and they sell what they raise. Together, they spend some time picking up trash in Kibera, and there's a lot of it that the city of Nairobi is not cleaning up, and neighbors pay them to do that. They have toilet facilities that people pay them to use. Even in the Mashujaa clubhouse, they have a PlayStation with video games that they charge kids a few shillings to play for 10 minutes ago. And then at the weekly meeting, the fruits of their labor are tallied.
I don't have the balance.
The treasurer of the Mashujaa, a 20-year-old named Miriam, she's Halima's aunt, in fact, calls out the names of those in attendance. They stand up and bring Miriam money. Most of it comes in the form of small change. Then Miriam announces today's total.
300.
300 shillings. That's just $3. But that's only one meeting. Over 2.5 years since the project kicked off, the Mashuja has raised over 49,000 shillings, nearly $500, and they're earning interest. If one of the members of the Mashuja wants to withdraw money, the group has to agree. One young man at the meeting needed a few hundred shillings, and the consensus was he should get it with the understanding that he'd pay it back in 24 hours. The project started with the assistance of CARE International. Mercy Njaji is with the organization's Kenya office.
They are able to come up with small businesses that they can earn living. Through savings and loan, they are able to put dinner on the table. Through savings and loan, they are able to go to school.
Look at this area, Kibera, 10 years from now. Yeah. What can you imagine happening if these Mashujas continue?
I would say Kibera would become very, very different, because through these girls who right now they are having a better and a decent way of earning money rather than finding themselves into prostitutions, on early marriages, on early pregnancies. I think in the next near future, Kibera would be very different with empowered girls. But I know if we had so many Mashujas around, Kibera would be very, very different.
Marco, it's a pretty inspiring story, but I do have a question. Kibera is a huge place with lots of problems. Can kids in one of the biggest ghettos in the world who are really bringing in just a few dollars a day make that big a difference?
You know, when you step back and you look at Kibera, the tin roofs seem to go on forever in every direction. The garbage seems like it'll never, ever get cleaned up entirely. It can only go on like this forever. That's the way it feels. And then you wonder if there is will at the top for this to change. You know, there's this big corruption scandal in Kenya right now. The government sold like $2.7 billion in Eurobonds, and the money has mysteriously disappeared. It's become very politicized. Everybody is angry. And I asked Halima about that. I said, look, at the highest levels of government, there constantly seem to be these schemes afoot to whisk money away, lots and lots of money, no accountability. And here you are in Kibera with your little savings club, and there is strict accountability. No one person can run off with the savings. And I asked Halima, can a group of girls from Kibera actually change the culture around money in Kenya? And you know what? She quoted Barack Obama. She reminded me of his 2008 campaign slogan, "Yes, we can." And Halima said, if after what she went through as a girl, and now I'm making a difference in my community, then it is totally possible. Yes, she can. She repeated again, yes, she can. So that's where the hope lies, in the determination of these young women.
Thanks, Marco. So what do you have coming up tomorrow?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me bring in Gina Moore from BuzzFeed. Gina is their international women's rights correspondent. She's based here in Nairobi. But Gina, you're almost always on the road, so we're actually really lucky to have you reporting a few stories for us this week. You'll be with us tomorrow on The World. Tell me what you've been working on.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about fashion in Kenya, which thrills me because there's so much exciting stuff happening here. I also think it's a place where women aren't really taken seriously as businesswomen or haven't been, but that's starting to change. And it's a really interesting thing to follow how that's changing and what it means for the women who've taken risks to be entrepreneurs in that way.
So in your story about fashion, are women working together?
You know, there's this kind of assumption in this world of people excited about promoting female entrepreneurship that women want to support other women. And everyone I talked to said that's not how it works at the beginning.
A lot of women, and not just African women, I think we're our own worst enemies. If you have stuff you're doing, your own friends or family would be the last guys to buy.
That is kind of fascinating stuff, a word I use, because it's kind of about these little hats called fascinators, right?
The woman we've just heard has launched a business selling fascinators, which are those tiny little hats that Kate Middleton loves. And she is accessorizing the elite here in Kenya.
Gina Moore from BuzzFeed, who will be with us on The World this week as we broadcast from Nairobi. Gina, thanks so much. Glad you're with us. Also, Carol, I want listeners to know about a special feature we've got at PRI.org. I want you to imagine what it is like to be a woman in Kenya in 2015. Actually, you don't have to imagine, because we've got this interactive quiz, a questionnaire of sorts that will compare and contrast your life to that of a Kenyan woman today. And you can take the quiz and see for yourselves. It's really cool, and you may discover some really great music at the same time. So, Carol, I'm going to sign off now from Kibera here in Nairobi, Kenya. Back to you guys in Boston.
And you can follow all of our Owning It stories using the hashtag Owning It. Plus, check out behind-the-scenes moments from Marco Werman and the team in Kenya via Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/acrosswomenslives.